Hello.
Hello, everybody. It's your old friend Danny Gallivan. And you're listening to a scintillating rapier like Brook Ward.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's my old buddy Danny Gallivan. Still going, still cooking. Ho, ho, ho to you, and hello to Jack the Giant joining us on the program again tonight as well. Hey, front end here of Vancouver Giants this week, a Tuesday night edition. This week, after the Canucks played yesterday, got a big win for Vancouver Canucks. They've got a lot of injuries, but they keep pulling these games out. Maybe that bodes well for the future for the Canucks as well. Vancouver Giants had a 1-1 weekend. Me, I'm fighting a cold. You can clearly, I think, clearly hear. Apologies for my voice. I do that even when I don't have a cold, frankly. Apologies for my voice. But I have a cold tonight, so fighting through some checks, but going to get this done. For you and yours, Vancouver Giants this week. Presentation of White Spot right here, Sportsnet 650 on the show tonight. Burke Hood, in just a couple of minutes, the New York Islander draft pick. He wears jersey number 35, playing for your Vancouver Giants, the fine goaltender, the pride of Brandon. He'll be on the program tonight. Bill Wilms to join us, as always. Nathan Cantor, too. Giants highlight pack from their win on Sunday over Prince George, 2-1. Cameron Schmidt scored the game winner with 5 minutes left, snapped the one-all tie. Giants are 1-for-1 on the weekend. Kelowna 5-2 over the Giants on Saturday night. It was a 4-2 game, then an empty netter. And then Vancouver led 1-0 into the third period on Sunday. Prince George tied it up midway through the period, but then it was Schmidt's 11th of the year. Hood played in that game, got the victory to move his record to 7-4 in the campaign. The game winner in a 1-1 game turned it to a 2-1 game with 5 minutes to go. So Schmidt with 11, the pride of Prince George, scoring again against Prince George. I know he likes that, too. Loves to play in Prince George, too, with the Vancouver Giants. Schmidt, the Dallas Star draft pick, getting it done. 11 goals on the campaign for your Vancouver Giants. The Giants are now on the road for a couple of games. On Friday, they're in Seattle, or check that, Tri-City on Friday, in Seattle on Saturday to take on the Seattle Thunderbirds after their game with the Americans. So Friday, Saturday in Washington. Giants are home on Monday. Everett in town. It's Military Appreciation Night, the 7 o'clock hockey game, just ahead of Remembrance Day on November the 11th. So the next home game for the Giants against Everett on a Friday night. Get your tickets right now, vancouvergiants.com/tickets. The Giants doing well in the standings right now. A lot of 500 teams in the Western Conference, and the Giants are one of them. They're 8-8-1 in the season, 6-2-1 in their last eight, or make it nine games, 6-2-1 in their last nine. So Giants, one of the hotter teams, frankly, in the Western Conference. Currently sitting in a two-way tie for sixth place with Kamloops, only a point out of fourth place, only 2 points out of second place in the Western Conference. It's tight, tight, tight. Hood in a moment. Wilms, Cantor coming up as well. Right now, let's get Bill Wilms and Nathan Cantor for you. Here's a highlight pack, the highlight reel, as they say, from the Giants' 2-1 win at the Langley Event Center on Sunday afternoon against the Cougars from Prince George.
Foster to the blue line. Carl Schott blocked by Olsen. They're up aggressively on him, and it may lead to an odd man rush. Sparks carrying in down the right wing to Tittle back in the middle. Scores! Adam Tittle back with his sixth of the year on the assist from Tyus Sparks. 1-0 Vancouver. Sparks flying ahead. Tittle back past the defenseman. He's in. Dinks to the backhand. He's drawn a penalty. A penalty shot coming up for Adam Tittle back.
What a pass by Tyus Sparks. When he had that puck in his own zone, number five, the pass that he puts to Tittleback, oh, I wish we could have seen that. That pass had mustard on it.
He tried to deke and then was slashed right as he got to his forehand, and now can he score on the penalty shot? Adam Tittleback already has a goal tonight. He's got six on the year. Here he goes from right to left. Heading in, can he make it 2-0? Slowly in, shoots, stopped by Ravensbergen. Foster. A snapshot. A stop blocked in front. They score. Off the rebound, Jet Lajoie has his 10th of the season. More importantly, a tie game, 1-1. Hood stops it behind the net. Looking for his options around the far boards. Tomic couldn't get it to the middle. Here's Dumanski from the blue line. Pass off the skate of Schmidt. And he's in clear behind the defense. Schmidt on a breakaway. Shoots. Scores! Another breakaway goal from Cameron Schmidt. Giants lead 2-1.
You keep going to the well, eventually you're going to get some water.
Far corner, Cougars have it. A centering feed just missed. 4 seconds, call a shot is blocked. And another one wide of the net. That will do it. The Vancouver Giants hold on to defeat the Prince George Cougars by a final score of 2-1.
As promised, the number one goaltender for the Vancouver Giants is joining us now. The New York Islander draft pick, the pride of Brandon. He wears jersey number 35. He is Burke Hood out of Brandon, Manitoba. Your number one goaltender for the G-Men. Hi, Burke. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm swell. Thank you so much for doing this. You got a lot on your plate, I know. Just generically, what are your thoughts of the way the season has started for you guys and the way things have gone for yourself?
I think things have been good. Like, we didn't have the greatest start to this season, but I think new staff, new coaches, a lot of new players coming in are young. It was going to take time to get used to. I think looking at it from the start, I thought we had a team that could go somewhere. It didn't quite start off that way. We were very up and down. We struggled at some points, but as of right now, in the past two games, we're really kind of coming together as a team and getting the hold of things.
You know, you're only in your second year in Vancouver. It feels to me like you've been here for like 5 years. So, you know, how long does it feel for you?
Yeah, it definitely feels like a while. Like some of the stuff last year, like, just doesn't feel real. Like it felt like it was so long ago that happened.
What stands out to you for last year?
I think just the big one for me was, I would say I was inconsistent in the first half. Like, I had some good games. I had some games where I wish I could have back. And in the second half, I just felt like a new person. I felt very happy and pleased with how I was performing.
I was wondering, too, like, it was right after Christmas break or so, right around there. It's like some of the guys, maybe yourself included, go home, you chill, you realize, you know, I'm in a pretty good spot here. And then you came back. It looked to me in the second half of the year, after that break, maybe it was home cooking in Brandon, but you were a different player.
Yeah, I definitely felt like it. I think we had a long, like, it was a 10-day break last year, so it was huge. I think that break for me was a significant part of it. Like, it wasn't just, I didn't skate for those 10 days, but I think looking back and like how I thought about coming back and how I wanted to be for the remainder of the season was a huge part of it.
Yeah. Again, back home with some family and friends too, a couple of pats on the back and, wow, what a step I thought you took, my friend, into the point where you get drafted by the Islanders. Where were you when you heard you were taken by the Islanders?
I was just in my living room. It was me, my mom, my dad, my brother, and then my girlfriend was there. And I was drafted during, like, because it was online this year. They were interviewing one of, like, the teams over, like, Elliot Freeman was interviewing one of the teams in, like, the room.
Right.
And you could hear my name in, like, the background. So not a bad way to go. It's kind of, some people can't tell that story, so.
Oh, that's a great one. Elliot's a friend. I'll have to drop that on him, too, next time I talk to him.
So. Oh, nice.
But that's awesome. And so did you know it was, well, you were following it, so you knew it was the Islanders pick. I assume when you're sitting here, you think, I'm pretty sure I heard my name, and so I must be an Islander.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, like, I think my mom heard it first, and she jumped up pretty quick. But I had my ideas of what team that, like, what teams I talked to, and like, oh, maybe it'll be this team. But I was super fortunate to be able to go there. Like, it's a great organization, cool spot to be.
I want to look up now who picked next after the Islanders, because you could be sitting there going, well, if the Islanders are next, and then I don't know if it was Boston or whoever was picking next. I want to know who went. We missed Burke Hood by one guy. So
I'm not even sure, actually.
I'm going to look that up, because that's what Brooke is going, oh, I could have been a, you never could have been still there for those guys. Oh, well, they blew it. So, and you were at camp. What was camp like? What was that experience like?
It was a great experience. So I went out. I flew out the day after. I left my house at like 4:30 a.m. to drive to Winnipeg for my like 9 a.m. flight. And so I flew out, slept most of the flight because I didn't sleep a whole lot the night before. Got there. There was like a dinner that night. And then there's a 4-day development camp. And like each morning it was, we'd skate, we'd work out, and then we'd have a little bit of downtime afterwards at, back at the hotel. And then we'd go see the city or something. Like one night we went to Topgolf. Another night we were going to go to a Mets game, but it ended up getting rained out. One night was actually like a game day. So it was, they had morning skate and a game at night. And then the last day we was practice in the morning. We went to the beach later on in the day.
Now bummer with the rain out though. That'd be kind of, well, yeah. While we're here, let's see the Mets. So, and yeah. were you in awe at times realizing how far you came, or you're looking around and there's Bo Horvat and there's all these guys and, you know, the goaltending crew, et cetera, the Islanders, Sorokin and Rittich, I guess, are there right now.
Yeah, it was like when I first got there, I kind of took a moment to be like, wow, I'm here. Development camp, like none of those guys were there. They'd all gone home for the summer, but coming into like rookie camp in the fall, was there for about a week. And then, the big guys started coming in. I kind of took a moment to be like, wow, I made it here. And then once I got on the ice, it kind of all went away. I realized that I'm just another one of them now. Like it's, I'm on the ice with them. I deserve to be on the ice with them. I was just going to go prove myself.
Isn't that crazy? By the way, for your records at home, you went to the Islanders in the sixth round. Just before you, Pittsburgh took left winger Carter Sanderson. I never heard of him. But anyway, I'm sure it'll be fine. But so they were just past Pittsburgh. The Islanders picked you. Then the Rangers were next, and they took defenseman Evan Passmore. And if I want to go one more, then the Wings took Will Murphy, another defenseman. There was a bunch of D that went right after you, four D in a row after you. Rangers, Detroit, Columbus, and Utah. And then the Canucks, who would, you know, usually mess up and miss you. But anyway, so those were the teams hovering around you in that era, if anybody leaps out at you. I did some homework of all things here, Burke. It doesn't happen often. So. when you were growing up, what was your favorite team?
I was always a Jets fan. They weren't quite around when I was... They came back in, like, 2013, so I would have been six at the time.
That counts. That counts.
Yeah, so I was always a Jets fan. I would say, like, still somewhat am. Like, I check in on them. I see how they're doing. And I was always, like, over the past few years, I've grown to, like, as I've kind of developed in my game, I've grown to really look at, like, Hellebuck, and he may not look the prettiest, but, like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. And whose poster was on your wall? Or did you have hockey posters on your wall growing up?
I actually had an Andre Pavlik poster on my wall. He was one of like the first, when the Jets first came back, he was one of their first goalies.
Really? Why goal for you?
My dad was a goalie. He was drafted to Prince Albert in the Western League. He played a couple games. He played a couple games in the Dub and then spent a lot of his time in the MJ with Dauphin and then St. Boniface.
What's your dad's first name?
Jeff.
Jeff, like with a J?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm looking up Jeff Hood, W-H. You got me working here, man.
Jeff Hood. Yeah.
He's an elite prospect here. Jeff Hood hockey stats at hockeydp.com. Well, now I'm looking up Jeff Hood out of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yep.
Born in 70. He's only 45 years old. I got him beat by 20. sad. And there you go. Two games in the Dub with Prince Albert Raiders. Listed at 6'2", 183. Is he still 60? He's 45. He's 6'2", 183. He's got to be the same. He hasn't changed.
Oh, yeah, he's still like 6'2"-ish.
Yeah.
But maybe he's shrinking a little bit in his old age.
Yeah, he's not old yet. Stop that. No. I am shrinking now. That's the way it works. You're not shrinking as a hockey player, sir. What's your plans for the rest of the year? And then as you even look forward to next year, you're back at another Islander camp.
For the rest of this year, my plan is just coming to work, kind of work every day, take things one day at a time, not trying to get ahead of myself. I know what I'm capable of. I'm hoping, I can help this team to make it somewhere. And in regards for next season and going back into Islanders camp, I think hopefully I like to set my goals high. The goal is to have a contract under me. I can go into that feeling good about that. Going into development camp, keep proving myself, even though if I have the contract, keep showing up every day. Not that that changed me. And just continue to work every day throughout the summer, throughout this season, throughout next season. I pride myself on hard work, and I think that's one of my biggest assets.
And I kind of should have dropped this on you earlier when I was talking about you going to the Islanders, because you had mentioned there was a couple of teams in there you thought I might go to because who you were interviewed by. So would you share that with me? What other teams did you think I might go? You ended up with the Islanders. I told you the Rangers in Detroit and Pittsburgh and Columbus, they were all hovering around you. Did one of those teams stand out as a possibility at the time?
None of those teams specifically. Like you mentioned, Utah, they were kind of in the back of my mind as a maybe. Mm. I think actually the Jets, I thought I was going to the Jets.
Ooh.
was actually the biggest one. Which would have been cool, like being kind of in my home province, and getting to kind of experience that hometown feel. So I experienced that once in the Western League, like not playing for my hometown, but we actually went to Brandon this year, so I got to play in front of my home crowd, and I had a bunch of people there. Winnipeg was probably the biggest one that I noticed.
You were taken, at least in round number six, you were taken 18 picks before the Jets picked. So they clearly blew it in round number five, Burke. Let's leave it at that. Hey, pal. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And we'll see you out of the rink, of course. And you have a great speaking voice. There's a broadcasting career 30 years from now waiting for you on hockey. When Bieksa retires, you and Elliot Friedman can do it on the hockey broadcast, because Elliot ain't going anywhere.
Oh, no, he isn't.
You're the man. Thanks, Burke. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you.
Burke Cuddy. Where's jersey number 35? He's the pride of Brandon. He's the New York Islander draft pick. He's the number one goaltender for your Vancouver Giants. Speaking of number one, Bill Wilms on standby. He's coming up next. Nathan Canter later in the program. Thank you for joining us. That was Burke Hood. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Bruff.
Join us for Halford and Bruff in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Foster to the blue line. Carl Shaw blocked by Olsen. They're up aggressively on him, and it may lead to an odd man rush. Sparks carrying in down the right wing to Tittle back in the middle. Scores! Adam Tittle back with his sixth of the year on the assist from Tyus Sparks. 1-0 Vancouver.
You got to go back to board work along the boards in the Vancouver Giants zone near the blue line. That's where that puck comes loose, and that's the guy you want to have skating it up the ice.
Billy Wilms back into that call on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week, Sportsnet 650. Brooke Ward with you, fighting through checks, fighting through the cold. Yeah, I should be done whining about that, but I'm not. I shall continue. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good, good, very good. I've been told by my wife I don't do colds nearly well enough. I complain too much, and you know what? She's right.
I don't like people around me when I'm sick. And my
really?
Wife, I want nobody near me, because when I'm sick, I usually am whining so much to myself, frankly, being sick, coughing or whatever, or huffing and puffing, and I don't want people to see me in that condition.
Yeah.
Yet my wife is a nurturer. And Marg wants to feed me and bring this and bring that, whatever. And I don't want someone to hear me wheezing and going, oh, when it's really bad. So
yeah.
Go away. So she nicely went away.
But you know what, Brooke? My wife, after 63 years of marriage,
yeah,
get over it.
Yeah.
That's all I hear. Get over it.
Eve is on it.
What did you do at the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded for the Blue Jays? Like you're on the couch?
I was on the couch. I just went, oh. Oh,
well. Heartbeat get up a little bit?
No, because I wasn't rooting for either side, frankly, because I'm a Dodger fan.
Gotcha.
So yeah. It was like, whatever happens, although I expected the Blue Jays were going to score.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
I went into Ron Toigo's booth, the only time I think I've been in there this year, because it's right beside us, and it was during the break, during the intermission. I walked in, the bases were loaded, it was the bottom of the ninth, and there was one out. And I stayed in there and absolutely saw the play at home plate, and then saw the play where the two guys almost crashed into each other in the field making that catch. And then it was just a matter of, okay, what's going to happen now in extra innings? And a lot of people in the building were very interested in that Blue Jay baseball game. We were playing the Kelowna Rockets for the first time.
Yeah, no, I would understand there's a lot of people on their phones or in the banquet hall or wherever, or Ron Toigo's suite, all piled in there, also trying to follow both at the same time. So that was happening in rinks all over the place, too. So the players were saying in other rinks, NHL-wise or whatever, why are people cheering all of a sudden? Because they were watching the Blue Jay game on their phones and thought they scored there in the bottom of the ninth. So, but when Kirk came up in the 11th with bases loaded and one out, I thought, it's Kirk's one of their best hitters. I was not expecting a splintered bat, slow roller to short to end it. I thought, no, Blue Jay's going to win it right here. He's going to hit a fly ball and get a sack or whatever. So I was surprised, but all of a sudden it was very quietly, a quiet little double play, and then the sound in the stadium there at in Toronto was deafening in its silence, I thought, Bill.
Yeah, no question. What a series. I mean, they don't get better than that. No. You can literally say, bottom of the ninth, the Blue Jays lost that World Series by 2 inches.
Yeah.
That foot off the plate and back on it, that was the difference. Yeah, good. Yeah. It was exciting, no question.
They went to appeal, and I thought, oh, you don't want to win it on appeal. Remember the Brett?
Yeah, I thought
Brett,
same thing. Yeah.
Brett Hull toeing the skate is what I was thinking years ago.
Yeah, remember that?
When Dallas? Thank you. Dallas won the Stanley Cup, and it's like they didn't have video review back then, and if it was by rule, sometimes that in the crease stuff, they don't call it hardly at all anymore anyway, so that's good. Sometimes there's a toe in the crease, had nothing to do with the play. Anyway, Bill Wilms is with us. He's got a toe, he's got a foot, he's got everything in the crease you can get. He's crease crasher, Bill Wilms. Giants on the weekend, 1-1, what did you think?
Well, I thought Friday night quickly, or Saturday night quickly, the 5-2 Kelowna win. Brooke, the first three Kelowna goals, in my opinion, I thought were energy sappers. Coming in off that right wing, top of the face-off shot. Carson Wetch, no question, a sniper for Kelowna. The second goal was a blue line where the blue line joins the boards, a shot from there that was deflected on the way to the net. And the third goal was a pass from deep in the corner to the front of the net and bounced off of Vancouver skate into their own net. So, you know, two things I always have said that really give you a problem is when your team gives up some iffy goals, okay, number one, that in itself is a sapper. And then the other side of the coin, too, was the fact that their goalie was the number one star of the game. So Josh Benigni did a really good job. And, you know, I thought the Giants were skating uphill against the wind pretty much all game and battle hard, but, you know, just were unable to get it done. Brooke, those games are going to happen. I'm not too concerned at all about that, and I wasn't concerned at the time, and obviously what happened Sunday was a totally different story, too. But, you know, when you looked at that game against the Kelowna Rockets, Cameron Schmidt, I want to just say this. He didn't have a point, but he had 8 shots on goal, and he led all players in the game. And I said to myself, I'm wondering if he's just warming up for the next day against the Prince George Cougars. Obviously scoring the winning goal the next day, you know, validated, I guess, that kind of belief. Real quick, if I can talk about Tobias Tomic. He's faster, Brooke. He was quicker. He looked more comfortable. He played last year. He's a key part to this team. He has to be. He's in his draft year, and he's come over here just to get drafted. But he played in the league last year, pro league, in Slovakia, where there were 7 players, I counted, between the ages of 25 and 31. And he was 18. I think he was 17 early in that season. And the scouting report is that his game is built on pace. He's constantly involved. He's got incredible energy. These are all things that I read, and he can really drive the play. And I thought that game Saturday night, there was a glimpse, maybe more than a glimpse, I guess I thought, of what he brings. And you come to the conclusion when you watch him that there should be no glide in his game. What he showed that game was pace, it was energy, it was quickness. And I think that it's clearly an adjustment. Maybe at the end of the adjustment period where he's adjusting to billets and he's adjusting to the game and he's adjusting, you know, to new teammates and all of that. That was something I took away from that game Saturday night in that loss. So, you know, it was a good thing they moved on quickly because I didn't think they played that badly at all.
Well, Tamik had an assist in each game, too. And it's funny, Bill, you mentioned it. I forget. Like, I mean, some of the Euros coming over, first-year Euros, all the things you mentioned. But, yeah, new teammates, new this, new that, whatever. And then it's like, you know, I'm living with other people that I haven't, like, who are these people? You know, that type of thing, the billets. Like, for me, as a 18-year-old or whatever, going to Slovakia, and someone says, oh, here's your billets.
Yeah, good luck.
I know it's coming, but, that'd be all those things to try and deal with and then perform. Sometimes I don't give these guys enough credit for what they go through to get over here and then wait for them to adjust.
Yeah, we have been, consider emergency billets. And so, you know, we've probably had four or five, maybe six guys for shorter, very short periods of time. And you know, we kind of get a pretty good idea of what they're, you know, what they're going through themselves. So, yeah, he's given every opportunity. You know, I think it was the last game or one of the games on the weekend, he was on the left wing with Halliburton and Schmidt. So they've given him every opportunity. And I thought Saturday night, I liked what I saw.
You've billeted guys before then, you and Eve, correct?
Yeah, like just emergency. We'll do it. Yannick, what was his name, from Germany. We had him. We had Brett Festerling for a weekend. As a matter of fact, we had, when he stayed with us for, well, maybe it was a week that Festerling did, he actually got his contract with, you know, that my wife, what do you call it when you sign it as a witness? Brian, right below Brian Burke's name, but I guess it was Anaheim at the time.
Yeah,
so we've had some, you know.
And then Eve signed?
What? Yeah, Eve did.
Eve did, after Brian Burke's signature.
Yeah, right below it.
You've had some great brushes with greatness over the years.
My wife or Brian Burke?
Well, your wife's, because she's had her brush with greatness with you. But you guys, what a great life, man. But what did you...
Well, you know what, Festerling, got to tell you this. Brett Festerling, when he stayed with us for a week, it happened to be a week of 5-6 days, it doesn't matter, that Eve went to Winnipeg. And he taught me how to cook spaghetti. He literally took it out of the pot and threw it against the wall. And when it stuck, he said, it's done. I never forget it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not the whole plate, but a piece of spaghetti, throw it up against the wall. If it bounces off, it's not cooked. Yeah.
It's cooked. And, I met his parents up at Quesnel when I was up there playing in the BC Seniors. So that was good. Yeah, good stuff.
What were the players, like, when you're billeting, how are the players reacting? Like, Festerling taught you how to, you know, throw spaghetti against the wall, but do you get more appreciation of what the player goes through? I mean, are they kind of wide-eyed? Okay, I'm over at this person's house now. You couldn't just find me a hotel for the weekend? Okay, I'm here.
Well, Zach Ostapchuk, for one, he was in his first training camp, and Matty Edwards was our last one. Almost to a person, you can't believe they're 16 or 17, and they act and feel and look like they're 20, 21. Mature beyond years. Always. That's our experience. Gentlemen, unbelievable. And I've said this before, you know, it's a business for these guys. They've got agents. They're trying to play hockey for a living one day. And there's just not a lot of fun. And I've said this before, and I might be the only one. You get into a cage. I mean, a hockey rink is a cage to me. You got boards along the sides. You got no out of bounds. And you got to go out there and you're going to take a beating some nights. You're going to beat up another guy some nights. And I don't mean, you know.
I got you. Yeah.
Pummeling them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to play the game. No one's ever going to tell you different. And you sense that as a, you know, we had Joe Logan his first year way, way back. I think it was almost the first year of the Giants in the league. And I think he was living with us, if I'm not mistaken, when he got traded to Spokane. Now, you go through that with a billet, too. So, yeah, but it's been great. It's been great for both of us.
Yeah. Well, I feel for those who, there's got to be the odd player who's not that nice. And it's like, wait a minute, I gotta move this guy out of here. I got to transfer him over to somebody else. Who wants this guy? I would hope that doesn't happen often, but it's got to happen now and then. It's like,
it does. I'm sure it does. It'd be burying your head in the sand if to think that never happened.
It's not working out. The guy's not very nice. Okay, we'll find somebody else. Don't tell anybody.
No, but they'll make a move and a change, and hopefully it works out for everybody.
I hear you, Bill. I got about 2 minutes left here because we had Burke Hood on earlier in the program, and I'm tight for time. We're at the quarter pole right now of the season, believe it or not. What have we learned so far from this Giants team?
Well, okay. How much time I got?
Two minutes.
The forward group is there. There's no question in what we've seen. And we've seen that as recently as the last game. I mean, that game against Prince George, Brooke, our group of forwards was coming out of our zone with speed that we haven't seen. Never mind entering the zone. I counted at least two on-ones. I counted a breakaway, two clear-cut breakaways, and a penalty shot. So the forward group is there. Okay, now they've scored 59 goals. I think it's only four in the Western Conference have scored more. But obviously the goals against are not where you want it to be. Now, I could tell you that every team in the league plays team defense. You play as a defensive unit of five. Okay. And you want that. You want to play great defense every lack of possession. Every time you don't have the puck, you want to have great defense. And that is a must, and that's always coached and coached very, very well. When you look at the group, okay, the goaltending group, solid, okay? Look at the forward group, solid, as I said. This forward group can challenge any other team's offense, I think. Now, we haven't seen everybody yet. However, your defensive group. Now, I just talked about the forward group and the goalie group. I want to talk about the defensive group, and I'm not naming names anywhere in any situation here. But your defensive group as a group, obviously, you know what, Brooke? They can pull this forward group back into their own zone to defend, and that whole shift might be defending. Or your defensive group of, I think, what, six, seven, eight players, that group can either pull that forward group back or push that forward group up the ice to create offense. And all the teams I have seen, and all the teams in my, I think, I don't know how many playoff series, including 12 in a row. Anyway, the championship teams I've seen, Brooke, they always have a very good group of defensemen who don't always pull that forward group back to play defense and then obviously can be very successful as a team of five. But where they really, the championship teams always kind of stand out is that group of defense are pushing those forwards into the offensive zone and kind of help that group come at you in waves. That is lacking at this point in, I think, this Vancouver Giant team. Let me tell you, the coaching staff is working on this every practice. Every coach in the league works on defensive structure. And it's being addressed, obviously. And I'm sure they're getting better. But they still have the most goals against given. And they're working. It's coming down in the league. But I think that I've seen that if you're a Giant fan, you love what you're seeing in terms of goaltending, in terms of forward group, and that defensive group of whoever they are, all seven of them, are still a work in progress, but they're heading in the right direction. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Yep. Nope. I agree, too. Their goals against is way down from what it was first 10 games of the year as well. So, the guys are buying into what the coaches are telling them as well, and they can kill penalties now, and they couldn't do that earlier this season. So that helps.
No, they've structured that better. They block shots. Their penalty kill is terrific. They're challenging it's like black and white from the beginning of the year.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate it, my brother. Got Nathan on standby. Appreciate your help as well tonight. That was fun learning about the Billets as well. Really appreciate that angle.
See you, bud.
See you, pal. Bill Wilms, Nathan Kanter's next. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Pass off the skate of Schmidt, and he's in clear behind the defense. Schmidt on a breakaway, shoots, scores! Another breakaway goal from Cameron Schmidt. Giants lead 2-1.
Nathan Canter, another great call from the kid from, do I want to say, is it Toronto you're from, Nathan? Where are you from originally?
It is, yeah, the actual Toronto, not the GTA or the greater area.
Right in there.
The great city of Toronto.
Really? Yes. How about those Dodgers?
Hey, we all, come on. Everyone was pulling for the Jays, no? Most people?
I didn't care who won. Okay. I've been a Dodger fan my whole life, though.
Oh, okay. Well, then, obviously, that is fine. But for all the, most people who don't have that allegiance, I would hope you're leaning towards the Canadian team.
Yeah, you can hope all you want, but, there was a lot of West Coasters, obviously, across the country. I mean, it did dawn on me, kind of, sounds silly to say, but during the game of Game 7 in particular, there actually is only one Canadian team. It's the only time unless they're going to Honduras to play an exhibition game or something. The major leagues, I mean, you got one, so it was like, oh, here's this one lonely little team in Canada that the U.S. has to cross the border for, and they're in the World Series. So great series, though. I mean, a heartbreak for Toronto people, but wasn't the games were incredible. There was so much going on in all those games.
Yeah. Oh, heartbreak for sure. I think I saw a stat, though, like 18 million people like half the country was watching, like at some point in that. I don't know if that was the World Series in total or Game 7 specifically, but yeah, what a way to lose. Like that's tough. I'm not a big baseball guy myself, so but I do feel for those who are obviously heavily invested, that just have the bases loaded multiple times with a chance to win it at home.
Yeah.
And you can't pull it out.
Crazy.
Oh boy.
Well, sorry. It's hockey season.
It is hockey season.
Yeah.
Now, it's underway.
I was not at the rink due to my, I could not play through injury, upper body, respiratory this weekend. So I was not at the Saturday or Sunday game. Was the crowd oohing and aahing at different times when you wondered why, or was the crowd focused on the Giants games?
Well, there was a little bit of both. There was, the game was playing at LEC in the banquet hall, as you probably can recall from earlier in the series. And at one point, when the intermission hit, the crowd, understandably, went to the banquet hall to pack it, but they did not leave and come back. When the game got back underway, their attention was still on the blue. Like, it was bottom nine, right?
Okay.
So it totally made sense, but it looked sparse because of that. The banquet hall literally was completely packed.
Funny.
Hundreds of people just in that room catching, it doesn't happen very often.
No.
So, yeah, the crowd definitely on the Saturday suffered for sure, but people were able to catch both the Giants in action live and they were able to catch the Blue Jays game. So there's a little bit of both.
Did they make it back in time to see the end of the hockey game? Or was
This would have been second period. Yeah. I think it was first. I can't remember which intermission. It was one of, it must have been first intermission.
Yeah.
And then leading into the second, but then caught the end. Unfortunately, the Giants on Saturday, it's a good Kelowna team. The Kelowna Rockets they entered a game below 500. Obviously, it has not been the start that they wanted, but they're the Memorial Cup hosts. They have now all their pieces back, like from NHL camps. TJ Ginla was playing just his third game of the season, and other pieces as well, have been in and out and stuff like that. And they're a good team. They played well. The Giants were not at their best on that Saturday. They still had a chance to win, made it 4-2 in the third, but they got behind and couldn't kind of claw their way back. But a much better effort on the Sunday for sure against another good team. Giants have faced, we talked about this, I don't know if you have with Bill Brook, but it's been like different opponents almost every single game. The Giants here, it'll be it's 17 games. I think it's 14 different teams out of 17 games.
Do you like that?
Well, I like it, but it's also, I do and I don't. I like it because I like to see the teams for sure that you don't get to see, like the teams will be visiting from the Central Division, the Alberta teams. I like that. I like going out to East Division to see the Saskatchewan teams. I don't know though if I like, you faced kind of a BC division here, a BC division team there, and then it'll be a US division team, a US division team, just kind of one offs. What it means is, what I do like is the back half of the season is going to be rivalry built. It's going to be, you're going to face those Colonnas multiple times. The PG, you're going to face PG three times in a row in January. I like that. I like the Kamloops are safe for the end of the season. A lot of the Penticton's. I do like that part of it, but I don't really like this part. It's a little difficult to prep, I'll be honest. And for the team, I think it's hard to get in a rhythm where you're pre-scouting for a different team every single game.
Yourself, too, as you say, different team. From a prep standpoint, people don't understand.
That's a little annoying.
You know, it's not the end of the world, but people don't understand, too, from a broadcaster. You have to familiarize yourself with the whole league, but you do that often as you go along through the season. And if you do see Victoria two or three times, now you're more familiar. You have the same players, basically, the same, keep them in between your ears. I don't know how you remember. For people out there, you have to have a good memory to call hockey, would you say? You got to remember numbers?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a mix of, for sure. You have to have a good memory and, you know, it helps for, like, who shoots what way. And I think the first time Kamloops came in here, it was, I said, Nathan Bame. And, oh, he's changed numbers. He doesn't wear that number anymore. It's like that kind of stuff. When it's the first time that you're seeing a new team, there's a lot more that you have to rely on your prep, your sheets, your lineup sheets, your all of that stuff.
I hear you.
Second, third time, you're on it, but it's that for just the new guys, right? There are about half the team. You'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen these guys. Now that it is specifically my third year, all the returners, that's easy. But there's a lot of new faces this season, especially with a lot of good young American talent has joined the CHL. And so there's a lot more new faces than there would be in any other normal year. So yeah, there's that. And three more new teams this weekend for the Giants to face. It's Tri-City Friday, plus then Seattle on Saturday, and then Everett will visit the LEC on Monday. But it's three different new opponents for the first time this season again.
So we can expect your performance in the broadcast booth to finally improve in the second half of the season then, when you see teams more regularly, you're more familiar with them then. So people shouldn't judge you by the first half here, Nathan, because I'm not hearing good things.
I'm sorry.
So you put your demo tape together in the second half of the season this year.
Always. Hey, you should always, although that's not necessarily true. I usually, you got to put a back half together, but you should be cutting it through throughout the season.
No, leave them wanting more. Finish strong. Finish strong, man. No one remembers the beginning. They remember the end.
Well, and finish it. I know we're not anywhere near the end of the season for the team, for the Giants, but I do think it's important to point out that where they're at right now, we're already a quarter way through. We are already
That's crazy.
17 games in. We're absolute bonkers. But I think it's important to note from the Vancouver Giants perspective to separate what was the, I don't know, the first half of the first quarter. Does that make sense? Like the first that East Division trip to me,
the first eight,
a few games before, first eight, nine games, that to me is separate from what they've done since they've come back. Because since the Giants have come back, they're 5-2-0-1. If you add the Regina win at the end of the trip, they're 6-2-0-1 in their last nine. So some people, they're 500. It's a 500 hockey club. Well, I don't think that's fair because they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They're 6-2-1 in their last nine. I think things have clearly trended in the right direction since they've come back from a really difficult trip. There's a reason you only do that trip once a year or once every, I mean, you do the different trip the next year, but that's a hard, long trip.
The Eastern trip.
You got it out of the way. Giants have been a lot better since returning, 6-2-1 in their last nine. And yes, I'd like to see them maybe add a piece here or there for sure to supplement some positions for sure. But I think this team is starting to improve without a doubt. And it was good to see them, you know, win a low scoring game. It seems like that has been hard to do. They won a low scoring game on Sunday, just 2-1 over Prince George.
Who stands out at you, Nathan, over the weekend?
Yeah, there's, Cameron Schmidt, it's hard not to talk about his clutchness. He scored the game winner, on Sunday, over the Prince George Cougars, loves to play against his hometown team. Schmidt's been excellent. Ryan Lynn has been excellent as always. I also think Adam Tittleback and Tyus Sparks they had a heck of a game against Prince George. They connected on the 1-0 goal. They could have connected on about two or three more goals for sure in that game. There was a 2-on-1 where Sparks went to Tittleback, back to Sparks, and an outstanding, it was the save of the night from Ravensburg and for the Cougars. But both those young players were were flying, like absolutely flying. Tittleback speed has, I think, been took another step the past couple weekends. And Sparks is really, really impressing. Scouts are noticing him. There's no doubt. They have really, really impressed. And on the back end, I've really still been impressed with Lance McCloskey. Bill and I have talked about the new right shot defenseman from Newport Beach, California. And he, it's been an adjustment for him coming from high school hockey, but I think he's getting more and more time and more ice time, that is, and is really starting to get settled in and, is a reliable player for sure for the Giants in different situations. And I really like Jacob Oreskovic's game too. I think, he's more about more than just the points, right? Like his production has been steady. He's taken a step, but he's been, him and Haliburda are the forwards with the most penalty killing time on the team. Like he hasn't done that before. And I think he's doing a real good job at that.
McCloskey, I think Coach Patterson named him specifically post game. I guess it was Sunday. Of one of the up-and-comers that he was really impressed with as well. So you dropped that. You two guys are on the same page, you and Galen.
Yeah, no. He's. I mean, it's hard not to notice, right? It's like you get someone who is a rookie to the league, is new to the league, and you kind of need – someone's got to step up, right? Because there are a couple players who played a lot of minutes last season who aren't back. So who's going to fill those minutes? And I think McCloskey kind of emerged. They didn't know at first. And he's worked his way up in the lineup to earn more minutes with his strong two-way play. So it's good to see.
The pride of Newport Beach, California, they say as well. So anyway, you got your show prep done for this week, right? Or do you work on that? When do you work on that normally?
Yeah, that's usually a day before, I'll be honest.
Well, you're busy also. People don't know Nathan, also the PR director. So he's in there at the practice all the day, working on the media, getting the players, working on the website. You got a lot of stuff on your plate.
Yeah, you know what takes up the most time of my, I would say, daily stuff is, and I don't, it's not just me. We have a wonderful social media person in Bailey Dick, who's the daughter of Michael Dick, former coach, of course, of
really?
The Giants.
I've met Bailey, but I didn't know that was Michael Dick's daughter. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's now with the Toronto Marlies. And but I will say, just, social media is so all encompassing nowadays. There's so much, there's almost an expectation. And, we have to kind of, a lot of that is, some of the hockey stuff is new to her, and some of the hockey stuff is still on me to provide that content. So we've been working together to try to fill that channel. And so, but that's like, you think you have a day off, but you don't, because something's got to go up. More than one thing has got to, you can't have a day where nothing goes on your Instagram channel or your TikTok or your whatever it is. So, that and the website for sure. The website, we've tried to add a few things, but it's a work in progress. And, but yeah, that in addition to the normal media stuff and, it keeps me busy. So the prep, I'll be honest, when you go down on a road trip, this will be the first time to the States this season. Team will leave on Thursday, playing Tri-Cities on the Friday. But
be careful.
The bus,
be careful.
The bus,
careful. Take your ID.
Oh, yeah. the trip down, though, is prep, like on the bus. That's when a lot of the stuff, right? Get it out of the way there.
And, yeah. Don't forget your passport. Everybody.
Oh, gosh.
Watch out. Get through that border.
Hey,
get through that border.
You know, once I did that, we get down that this was, it must have been last year. I don't think it was my first year, but it was because I got to go down to Ladner. That's where the team leaves from, and get there. And I get there and give the team, I deliver the breakfast. They're all eating their white spot. We're getting ready to load the bus. And Manny goes, someone brought up passports, and my face goes white. How did I? Damn it, I came down here and I don't have my passport. Well, what do you think is happening? I'm driving myself, so.
Okay, I'll meet you down there.
See you guys there.
Yeah, because you were ready to go from Langley, you live in Langley area, don't you?
Yeah.
So you had to go home, we'll meet you down there? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
That was not fun.
Oh.
Don't forget your passport is right, Brooke.
Don't forget your passport. Take three of them. You never know. Hope I see you when you return the Monday game. I hope you're back on Monday, so.
Hopefully.
Because if there's anyone I'm not letting back in, or if there's anyone I'm holding on the way down, it'd be you. Come on. Shifty look. No goatee.
Yeah.
You need a goatee.
I cause trouble, don't I?
You look too clean cut. Just too clean cut. All right, pull this guy over. Time for the full search. Hey, pal. Thanks, man. Appreciate it as always. And we will chat with you when you get back, my brother. And good luck on the weekend. Good luck with your prep.
Yes. No, I'll prep will be fine. I'm looking forward, though, to coming back and seeing you in the booth.
Who doesn't? On Monday. Who doesn't? Everyone looks forward to seeing.
Of course.
Seeing me. So the best part about seeing me is the fact that you could say, you say hello, but oh man, you get to say goodbye. That is the best part. See you, pal.
See you. Thanks so much.
Nathan Cantor, your play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants in Washington on the weekend, back home for Military Appreciation Day on the Monday, the 10th. Everett Silvertips are in town for that game. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thank you for being with us tonight. I am Brooke Ward for Burke Hood. Earlier in the program, Nathan Cantor, Billy Wilms, Jack the Giant. Thanks for listening. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650.